For quite a few years on this Sunday of Advent, in Catholic parishes throughout the country, we are asked to take seriously the need for providing retirement support for religious brothers and sisters, women and men who, from the very foundation of the church in our country, have been the backbone of our education, our health care, and so many other ministries that have been so significant and such a deep part of Catholic life. These religious brothers and sisters were never paid a salary. They were given a small living expense or stipend, and they used that in order to provide for the very basic needs they had. There was never a suggestion that brothers or sisters would retire. The assumption was they would clap erasers until they dropped in their shoes. Well, a fair number, in fact, the majority of religious sisters and brothers are elderly and are retired, and it is incumbent upon us, the Catholic community of the United States, to provide for the retirement needs of those religious. We're not talking today about a work of charity. We're talking today about a work of justice. What we are invited to do is to provide for the deferred compensation of those persons who worked for so many decades in commitment to the ministry and the life of the church. Each year I invite a woman religious to preach to us on this weekend, to open the scriptures for us, to invite us to walk deeper in faith, and also to inform us and to bring the appeal for the retirement fund of sisters and brothers to us. That collection will be taken up next weekend. This year I've invited Sister Stephanie from St. Matthew's to be the person to present the word to us. Thank you, Sister.
Good evening. In our reading from Isaiah, we hear these words of hope. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. The context of this reading from Isaiah, these particular chapters of Isaiah, are when the Israelites are in exile in Babylon, or some scholars say after they have just been allowed to return home and are looking at the devastation around them and overwhelmed at the rebuilding, and yet filled with that hope that at least they're finally home. We hear those words again in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus begins his public ministry. And again, the context is the nation of Israel under Roman occupation. Again, a time of darkness, a time of despair, and a constant prayer to God for deliverance. And again, these are the words that Jesus offers as he comes in their midst, that light and that hope sent from God. And as we look around our world today, these words are for us as well. Wars and poverty, hunger, natural disasters, political oppression have created more exiles. In my ministry with New Americans, at Moore Multicultural School, one of our sisters' ministry, we have new refugees, the Karen people from Burma, who have been exiled from their homes. The Hmong from Laos, also exiled. Latinos driven out by poverty and by violence in their homes. Somalis, Ethiopians, people from all over the world. We know our country is involved in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's political corruption, disaster, Darfur, cholera in Zimbabwe, and the list goes on. In our own towns, we have women and children exiled by domestic violence, people exiled by the violence in their neighborhoods, and now the economic distress that we're in, foreclosures and job loss. And it can seem indeed a very dark time. We are afraid, we are vulnerable, many around us are suffering, and it can seem overwhelming. And yet, in the midst of this, we are called to hope. And in today's readings, more than hope, to rejoice. We now have three candles on our wreath, an increase in light, as we symbolically look at and hope for Christ's growing light in our midst. In spite of how easy it can be to despair, we believe in God's promises of healing, liberty, freedom from oppression, the promise of a year of the Lord's favor. We believe, as the Christian author Max Lucado has so beautifully put it, that in a world of injustice, God, in Jesus, once and for all, tips the scales in favor of hope. And we know that God most often chooses to work through us human beings in bringing about this promised reign of justice and peace. Like John, we are called to testify to the light, to be a voice crying in the wilderness, calling all to make straight the way of the Lord. Like Mary, we are called to birth Jesus in our world today. And as we look at our world around us, we can find hope, and we can be that hope. I can speak of the hope that I see, the many volunteers and dedicated staff in my ministry that welcome the immigrants and refugees who feel very exiled and alone away from their home. Last night at the open house at Guadalupana, there were many, many there in support of that outreach to the politically unpopular undocumented immigrants and others marginalized in our area. There are the Loaves and Fishes program here, and many of you, I'm sure, volunteer in many, many, many ministries. Many come to Sister Margie, who does spiritual direction, seeking to deepen their relationship with God. Volunteer with Sister Joanna in their program where we tutor young children who are learning to read. Sister Virginia works in development, helping to access the resources, and many, like you, help to access those. And Sisters Janelle and Carolyn work with those who are homebound, helping meet their basic needs. And again, many volunteers involved in all of those things. So there is so much hope around us. And even in the economic despair that many are feeling, we can find hope. Because we've often complained that Christmas has become consumer-driven. And in this time of economic distress, many are using it as an opportunity to refocus on the true meaning of Christmas. And I found in my ministry that even with the economic tightening, while some can no longer give as they once have, others are giving more, cutting back on extra because they are so aware of the great need. Because the suffering is not so hidden, it is affecting so, so many, that people are drawing ever deeper and giving what they can. And that is a sign of great, great hope. This time offers us a chance to reform our society towards greater justice. And like the people returning from Babylon, it is hard work. But the promise is that God will help and will make our efforts fruitful, because it is not our work. It is God's work. As we look at religious life, as Father said, I am here to speak as well about the retirement fund for religious. Many people often only see diminishment, smaller numbers, aging, and bemoan the secularization of our age and wonder, Where are all the young people? Why aren't people becoming sisters and brothers and priests anymore? But I would suggest that instead we see it as a time of transformation. In North America and Europe specifically, while there has been much secularization, there's also now a much more theologically educated laity that has come forward to fulfill many of the roles traditionally filled by religious and priests in the church. This does not mean that religious aren't needed, but perhaps it means that not as many are needed. That our role now is to be leaven in the bread and not main ingredients. There are many, many years that sisters have served in many ministries, as Father mentioned. And we have many, many lay partners as we continue to serve. There are fewer of us, but more and more of you are involved and taking on that outreach. We have associates who make a formal connection to religious communities, and many lay partners in ministry, both in person, financially, and with prayer. Many people who join us in ministry report being glad that we have helped them find a way to reach out to those who are vulnerable and marginalized. As religious, we have a big network and many opportunities and ways and resources to get things started. And then others say, oh, how can we join with that? And are glad for that because they're not sure how to reach out, how to make that first connection. And that seems to be one of our roles in being leaven at this time in history. So I have hope. As one of the younger members, I can speak to that. I joined the community when numbers were already much less. And still I joined, and still I came, and still I believe that the role of religious in our society has a place and is important and is in a time of transformation with all of you. But transitions are a little messy. Right now, there is an imbalance in terms of our sisters and our ages. There are not enough younger sisters to financially meet the needs of our older sisters. Nationwide, 58% of religious are past the age of 70. In our Mankato province of the School Sisters of Notre Dame, 66% of our sisters are past the age of 70. Now, many actually will die clapping erasers or doing some kind of ministry with their boots on, whether even if it's just taking the recycling out at the mother house and doing all sorts of the little things that keep us operating day to day. Or God love them, some of the sisters I've lived with who unloaded the dishwasher to save us, those of us out on full-time ministry, you know, one more little job. All our sisters, and I know it's true of religious across the board, seek to minister and reach out as long as we can. But there are greater financial needs as we age. In Mankato, we have 349 sisters. Only one-third are under the age of 70, which is our official retirement age, even though, as I said, we don't exactly retire. Only 41 of us, or 12%, are under the age of 60. So the next 10 years will be a major shift again. As Father mentioned, we didn't receive large salaries, or much salary at all, in the very, very distant past. And arrangements weren't made for us to join Social Security until the 1970s. And because we had low income and because we joined later, the average religious only receives about $4,500 a year in Social Security benefits compared to the average benefit of $13,000 a year, so about a third of the average person. Now, our expenses are less with communal living and our general lifestyle, but as we age, health care is huge. And that is not less than anyone else. And it is there that it's difficult to cut back and where the expenses become very imbalanced based on our earnings. Because even those of us that are still working, again, we tend to be in ministries that don't have large salaries because we are working with the marginalized and the poor and those in those ministries that don't command large salaries because that's not where our hearts are. And so we come asking for help, knowing that the women and men religious who served our church so faithfully and so long for so little financial remuneration helped to form the educated laity that you are now, helping to nurture the faith of past and present generations and helping to meet the needs of those in need and to work for justice. But as much as it is about our need, it is equally as much about inviting you to continue in ministry with us. It could be easy to draw in and conserve all our financial resources, but we made a decision about 15 years ago in our province to create something called the Fund for Mission. It's 10%, it was 10% of our budget at that time, and it continues to gain interest. And we use that to support our ministries to the poor and start up new ministries of outreach. And recently at a meeting, as we were talking about our realities, the suggestion came up that because sisters are technically allowed to retire at 70, maybe we could take all the income of those sisters over 70 and use that to continue further outreach and expand our outreach. Now, who knows if that will be possible, but I'll tell you, it created a lot of energy, and it really speaks to our desire to continue to be in outreaching to those in need and not just worrying about how we're going to take care of ourselves. And so, it is our request today speaks as much to that desire, that invitation to you to join us in that ministry, and that need to continue to bring Christ's light to the dark places of the world. And so we humbly ask you to join us in that mission, to help support us in our time of need, and to help us in continuing to reach out and assisting in Christ's name to bring the good news to the oppressed, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to captives, and the release of prisoners. We believe, as we are told in Thessalonians, that the one who has called us all is indeed faithful. We need only to rejoice, give thanks, pray without ceasing, and hold fast to what is good. The envelopes are in your bulletin if you are able to contribute this year, and the collection will be next week. Thank you for your generosity.